All the Rage with John Bowd on www.traxfm.org.
Welcome to John Bowd's All the Rage. We're live today. Today, John's going to be talking about the massive outbreak of anti-Semitism. For some reason, it's just down to a political party. It's all their fault. And overnight, I seem to have woken up, and we seem to have forgotten the 50s, 60s and 70s National Front, BNP. We seem to have forgotten all the football hooligans who were proud to disrupt world football and world tournaments, calling, throwing bananas at John Barnes. All of a sudden, we can forget all that. It's anti-Semitism. John, take it away.
Yeah, thanks, mate. Yes, we are. Political memory is a bitch, isn't it? We're returning to this subject as part of a kind of broader thing I want to do tonight about offence. So if we've got time, I'm going to use a couple of examples, but I thought this one was one that is worth returning to, mainly because anti-Semitism, like all forms of this kind of hatred, is worth pounding into the ground until it's complete dust. We are here to defeat this. But at the same time, I do feel, and I would encourage all listeners, whatever your views on this, to listen to my whole argument. If you still disagree with me, that's perfectly fine. But I do feel there are a lot of groups taking advantage of this. And I think what we need to do is work out how to call out and shut down anti-Semitism at the same time as calling it out when we don't believe it is the case that this has taken place. There are many ways of doing that, and none more powerful than listening to Jewish people, because they will be the ones to tell you what is and isn't anti-Semitic. In previous shows, we have read out very good definitions of this by the organisation Judas, and also some that have been tweeted by the comedian and writer David Schneider, who's had some very good practical examples. I can possibly pull those up for later on, but in the meantime, we'll just go with what we've got. And we will be focusing quite a lot on the Labour Party. So advanced notice, notice of interest here. I don't know what you call it. I can't remember. But I am a member of the Labour Party. So I'll say that up front in case anyone questions me. The latest round of bullshit on this subject has been set off by a particular Labour MP, a fellow named Chris Williamson, who stated that Labour had been too apologetic, in his words, over the instances of anti-Semitism. Naturally, this has not been dealt with in a well-thought-out manner by a group of well-thinking people, but instead we're in the middle of a smear campaign, so it's really just added to that. We need to cover quite a bit of ground on this, so we'll start now. Basically, what has happened here, let's look at what has gone on. Some Jewish people have been subjected to the vileness of anti-Semitism, and in some cases it has been within the confines, in very small cases, of the Labour Party itself, or within the social media that is linked to that kind of thing. And I have plenty to say about social media later on. Those who are making the most noise about this, however, are not bothered about it, nor anything else, because, frankly, they're cynical bastards who just want to take on Jeremy Corbyn because he is a threat to them. This includes the media and opposition politicians, both inside and outside of the Labour Party itself. Mr. Corbyn wants to change the system so racism no longer exists and is no longer systematic, so people can get paid when they work and can afford homes, so our healthcare is not privatised and renationalisation takes place for so many industries devastated by the privatisation process, and he wants to change foreign policy, including not giving unequivocal support for the disgusting actions of the apartheid state of Israel. Mr. Corbyn has a record of opposition to all forms of racism, and he has backed this up continually throughout his whole political career with action and stands head and shoulders above those of his critics. In fact, frankly, he stands head and shoulders above all of us. He has completely dedicated his life to shutting down prejudice and things like that. Just like Bernie Sanders in the US, he is a threat to the status quo. That is why he's so popular, basically. this is a structured attack on socialism because they know they cannot beat it legitimately in a world where capitalism has killed, destroyed lives and given us a world of utter despair. Mr. Corbyn and his plans will seek to address this injustice and many others, and this has great public support, along with many of the things that I already mentioned, taxing the rich more and stuff like that. So no great wonder why he's not popular among those lot. Absolutely none of what I have just said minimises nor denies the existence of anti-Semitism on the left and small instances of it within the Labour Party. It does happen. It has happened. Nobody is saying otherwise. It does not matter to the victims of this shit how small the incidences are or how few people have done it. It is a horrible and alienating experience, and we need to tackle it much quicker and more effectively. I will criticise the party right now to say they have been far too slow in doing this. It needs to be highly effective and highly visible. We may disagree about the best ways to do that, but I think we can agree, I hope we can agree, that it has not been done as well as it could have been done. We need to get very, very tough and not believe the bullshit while tackling all the real instances of anti-Semitism. It's perfectly possible to do both of those. So I just want to read a statement, not written by me, but actually written by Momentum. And I think now is a good time. It's an open letter on anti-Semitism. And it goes as follows. We are Labour members who support Jeremy Corbyn in his leadership and the progressive socialist programme and anti-racist principles of the Labour Party. We have seen anti-Semitism from Labour members and supporters online and offline. We recognise that as a movement we have been too slow to acknowledge this problem, too tolerant of the existence of anti-Semitic views within our ranks, too defensive and too eager to downplay it. We sincerely apologise to the Jewish community. I put an IES on the end of that myself, but nevertheless, I'm reading their statement. We sincerely apologise to the Jewish community and our Jewish comrades in the party for our collective failure on this issue to date. We believe that a small minority of anti-Semites are wreaking havoc in the Labour movement, alienating Jewish people and sabotaging the Labour project. Some of these people are already expelled or otherwise suspended by the party, but remain active on social media. Moreover, there is a much wider problem of denial about the problem, including shouting down those who raise it or take action. We are acutely aware that confidence on the left is at an all-time low within Jewish communities. It is our goal to rebuild trust and relationships with our Jewish compatriots. There's a couple more paragraphs. I think this is important to read the whole thing. In addition, we understand our obligation to be sensitive to the concerns that have already been widely expressed. A particular issue is that many people, due to a general lack of education about anti-Semitism, are not recognising anti-Semitic tropes, and as a result often react defensively. We recognise that rising anti-Semitism in society at large and in other parties isn't a reason to fall short here in the Labour Party. It is our party that has always led the fight against racism, which is why our failures are bitterly disappointing for Jewish members, and as such we affirm that there is no space for anti-Jewish prejudice and bigotry in our movement. We must be at the forefront of eradicating anti-Semitism from our own spaces and movement, which is where we have the power to hold ourselves to the highest standard in order to make a real difference. Part of the difficulty is that when speaking out about the injustices of the Israel-Palestine conflict, progressive and radical activists have faced allegations of anti-Semitism when they have either not been anti-Semitic or when they do not intend to be anti-Semitic and took care to ensure that they were not using anti-Semitic tropes or rhetoric. At the same time, we acknowledge that we face real currents of unchallenged and somewhat normalised anti-Jewish oppression in our movements and society at large, including at times alongside criticism of Israel. In order to resolve this, we call on all members of the Labour movement to seek an end to the bunker mentality, demonstrate maturity, and prove why, as a party awaiting government, we can be trusted to face up to the challenges we encounter in bringing about a significant change both within and outside the movement. Okay, nearly there. It is our ambition to arrive at a place where we can hold ourselves accountable, continuing the important challenges and having meaningful discussions about topics including the Israel-Palestine conflict. All of this whilst being true and committed allies to our Jewish compatriots in the fight against anti-Semitism. We are committed to proactively opposing anti-Semitism and anti-Semitic tropes. Wherever they occur, encountering efforts to downplay concerns raised. We want to work with the party to urgently assign resources and consultation with the Jewish community to expose and isolate anti-Semitic activists online purporting to support Labour, to create and develop political education materials to assist in educating those who are ignorant of this subject and unaware of the nuances of anti-Semitism, to publish a dedicated page on the Labour Party website addressing anti-Semitism to address both new and outstanding cases in a timely manner and to raise up Jewish voices speaking out about their experiences and to reiterate public and privately that dismissive attitudes and denial are part of the problem. We understand that many Jewish members feel uncertain and have reservations, but we hope that you will stay in the Labour Party so we can work with you together to eradicate anti-Semitism from our movement and society as a whole. Now, I thought it was worth reading the whole of that thing because it's the most coherent response from the very left that supports Mr. Corbyn, and I think it's mostly pretty accurate. It's a couple of things I entirely agree with, but I'm pretty much on that one. I would like to talk about media hypocrisy next, but Dave, do you want to intervene or put any points in?
Well, as I said, John, I mean, I've seen many attempts at anti-racism, even from this country's biggest import-export sport in the world, football. Which was from the third world country, to be honest. Mm. The money that's swimming around there, and they've never been able to do it. I don't agree with that to be seen. I mean, if you look at the so I looked at the procedure they're following at the moment, which is under also council or legal counsel guidance. And they've had to screenshot a lot of the evidence, and it turns out of all the complaints, something like 12 or 13 Labour Party supporters took part. Bear in mind, this is the biggest party in Western Europe. In fact, it's grown more in the world. It's the biggest growing party in the world at the moment in regards to members. So when we look at the percentage of anti-Semitism in the Labour Party with a legal counsel investigation, it was something like 0.0001%. And I don't look at it as anti-Semitism. I look at it as racism, because that's what it is. It's racism. But what the allegations do by the mainstream media is they've marginalised a minority in this country, and they've stood them out, you know. And I swear, we're saying again, look over there, look what they're doing over there. And this government has just done an atrocity such as Windrush.
Mm. We'll be getting to that.
Yeah, two wrongs don't make a right. Yes, you know, let's do this investigation. Let's investigate it. Forget everything that the Premier League has tried to do and FIFA and UEFA and all that. Forget all that. It's all down to the Labour Party. Forget that 14 Conservative member parties, 14 straight away were banned yesterday. You know, nothing said about it for anti-Islamophobia. Again, it's racism. It's not anti-Islamophobia. It's racism. It's racism. And as a society, we've not dealt with it.
No.
So, but perhaps if you're rich enough and you say it enough, and I agree with George Galloway, if you keep saying something, keep saying it, keep saying a lie, people tend to believe it, John.
Yeah, I mean, a few things on that is... I mean, the point of tonight's show is not only to restate our commitment to destroying anti-Semitism and all forms of racism, prejudice like that, but to point out that, yes, there are people who are taking a great deal of advantage of this. And I'll come to that in the next part of what we're talking about. But firstly, I mean, I agree with you about the levels of it, but I would shy away from that because I think for people who might experience it, they don't really care about whether or not it's 1% or less than 1% or anything like that. That's a perfectly valid point, but we all know that. And as we come to later on, when we talk about you know, racism in the Conservative Party, you know, there's some. I'll come to that in a minute. But yeah, I mean, I think that as a society, we've never dealt with it. And part of the problem is, and it kind of comes back to something I said to you the other week on a different show, when You know, despite all of the crowing of certain groups of white people about being some kind of minority, they're not the minority, and probably never will be. And they, because of that, because they are the majority, they just don't have any real wide interest in doing these things. It's a bit like what the Momentum has said in that statement about occasionally kind of wandering into anti-Semitism without realizing it. You know, like when you start banging on about George Soros or the Rothschilds or something like that. Some people do that on purpose, and some people do it because they just don't know any better. And it's a bit, or you know, like there's some kind of innocent way of questioning the numbers of people slaughtered in the Holocaust. You know, so well, yeah, I'm only asking questions. You're not, mate. You're being a fucking anti-Semite, okay? And that's why you're asking those questions, and everybody knows it. Because we know what the signs are. You know, if you could, again, if you had a better, and I know a lot of people within the Labour movement have talked about political education, and I completely agree. How that's going to be carried out, I have no idea. But I remember having a discussion with people where, you know, I talked about reading the election leaflets of the National Front from the 80s or the BNP from 2005. And the reason I read them is because I kept seeing certain... what I would call a wink to the party faithful would pop up. So here are these parties, you know, trading boots for suits and trying to pretend that they're a bit more, you know, upward and were a bit more respectable. But then they would drop in something and we think, oh, where have I heard that before? Oh, I know, it's on the 1982 National Front Manifesto. Yeah, so they're kind of nodding to their supporters with something that sounds, you know, maybe not like much to your average Joe looking at it. But if you knew where it came from, you go, oh, I see what you're doing there. So, yeah, political education is hugely important. And it's basically, it's part of one of the remits of this show that we do here. It's about giving working class people a better education about the way the world is and your place in it, which is not voting for the Conservatives. Anyway, so slightly off subject. Okay, well, I want to talk about the media hypocrisy. But do you want to pop a song in now and then we'll come back to that?
Yes, John. When we come back, John continues on this subject of anti-Semitism, mainstream media, and of course, being offended.
John Bouts, all the rage, all the on Tracks FM. Tracks FM. Tracks FM.
Mode and enjoy the silence. There's no silence here on Tracks FM, I'll tell you that much, and certainly not on this show. We're into the subject of the current overnight explosion of anti-Semitism. Forget everything else. Forget anti-Islamophobia. Forget Stephen Lawrence and the inquiry into that. Forget institutional racism. Because some billionaires put it all over the paper. It must be true, John.
Yes. Well, we're going to go on now to talk about media hypocrisy, to which in my notes I have written, where do we begin? Well, we could probably, we'll begin with their levels of anti-Semitism, among other things, and then we'll go on to talk about Islamophobia, which I think are two, not the only examples, God no, but two very important examples. Okay. It's worth mentioning how often anti-Semitism is indulged in many of the papers and publications trying to smear Jeremy Corbyn at the moment. This would include the Daily Telegraph, who have used George Soros tropes themselves, and we'll come back to Viktor Orban later, the president of Hungary, who's basically got elected by using George Soros tropes. There's the Spectator magazine, who have defended the neo-Nazi Greek party Golden Dawn and Little Tommy, among other things, not to mention employing Rod Little, who's one of the most overt, fiercely racist writers in Britain. He actually said there's not enough Islamophobia in the Conservative Party. Always remember that he punched his girlfriend when she was pregnant. The incidences within the Daily Mail are far too numerous to mention, because I haven't got the space, but there was the demonisation of British academic Ralph Miliband, and also his son Ed when he was Labour Party leader, and Mr Corbyn defended both of them. Meanwhile, there is, as Dave mentioned earlier, the staggering levels of Islamophobia in the Conservative Party. So many open supporters of Jacob Rees-Mogg post racist, Islamophobic and homophobic abuse online. There's a whole Twitter page dedicated to listing it. They have never been investigated, and Tory party members and voters, they most certainly are, for their Islamophobia. As you know, there was 14 people suspended last night, which is nowhere near the scandal it should be. If there were 14 Labour members, it would be on a fucking field day right now. But yeah, they have acted on it now. But it should be mentioned, and I do think it's, I'm not just doing this for the sake of scoring points. I think you all know I hate the Conservatives. But they have had pressure leaned upon them and Chairman Brandon Lewis to take action like this for absolutely ages. Absolutely ages, and they've done nothing about it. And once the hate's out there, it's out there. If Labour's process for dealing with this sort of thing is slow, the Conservatives are non-existent. But unfortunately, part of this all comes down to the very same media that I was just talking about, which basically have an attitude towards Islamophobia. This is the kind of okay racism for the modern world. The Conservative government are supporters of the aforementioned Mr. Orban, anti-Semitic leader of Hungary, which has become an extreme far-right country, among other extremists that they're linked to. There's a lot of extremists they're linked to in Europe. The Tories have also run racist campaigns themselves in recent years, such as the last London mayor campaign, which played on anti-Muslim tropes because of Sadiq Khan being the candidate for Labour. And Theresa May, as Home Secretary, oh dear God, we could do a whole show, presided over some of the most staggeringly inhumane policies that are still causing suffering, including deporting British citizens, a part of the hostile environment, to immigration and the whole Windrush scandal. I'm going to keep calling it the Windrush scandal because the biggest problem I have with that is how small a scandal it seems to have become. But there you are. This is all obvious to any of us because they are the right wing. Therefore, they're naturally racist, xenophobic and homophobic. This is what they do. In addressing claims about the Tories being more racist than anything on the left, our good friend Owen Jones summed it up perfectly by saying, no shit, they're the fucking Tories. They are the enemy and they must be defeated. I agree with you on that one, Owen. It's no excuse for us not keeping our own house in order. But there you are. It is well worth mentioning. There's more than one truth here, basically, folks, and it seems many people find that difficult to deal with. Well, fuck off then, because this is the real world. There's no place for simpletons here. There's always more than one thing going on in the world, and I have zero sympathy for you. The real-world consequences of all of these repulsive attacks against Jewish people are an elderly Jewish man recently attacked in London, asked if he was Jewish and then repeatedly punched. This sort of filth is what calls out when things like this happen. the dangerous distribution of anti-Semitism claims that inevitably bring the real thing along. This kind of thing is what we always have to protect against, and it's got nothing to do with criticism of Israel, of which I'm going to be entering into in a minute. Also this week, well, two things. Okay, firstly, we had Margaret Hodge continuing her one-woman campaign against Jeremy Corbyn and John McDonnell, who she dismissed a long time ago as just Marxists and doesn't like them. We're in an interesting situation here, listeners. So what's happened is she's supposed to be investigating instances of anti-Semitism within the Labour Party, and she has, this is somebody who's actually got into the face of Jeremy Corbyn, the leader, and called him a racist and anti-Semite. Nevertheless, he still allowed her to be appointed the position of investigating this stuff. I wouldn't, because I don't trust her, but, you know, credit to Mr. Corbyn. However, she's now claimed that she's been lied to and that actually his office are interfering in what she's trying to do. And Mr. Corbyn and his like have come back and said, we are not interfering. This is inaccurate. So basically, a real simple choice for you here. Two people are telling a story and one of them's telling the truth. I believe Corbyn. So I won't say anything more about that, but that's just my position on this. I think this is part of a wider the wider context that we're going to go on to talk about in a minute. And Ms. Hodge is absolutely one of the people who's pushing that and always has done. Now, the other thing that happened this week was Jeremy Corbyn got attacked outside a mosque. First stories were that he had an egg thrown at him. It wasn't an egg. He was actually punched by somebody. The response to this online included some people saying, wasn't it great that this had happened? You know, it's a pity it wasn't a brick. It's a pity that somebody didn't shoot him. And moaning at us lefties because we glorified in when Nick Griffin got hit with an egg many years ago. And said, oh, isn't it the same thing? No, it isn't the same thing, because Nick Griffin is a Nazi. And a Holocaust denier, too, by the way. And that's official. That's on his. He was charged with that, so that's not just my opinion. Who was it that did that? Dave, you posted a couple of things about this. There was Rachel Reeves and James Cleverly. You put some stuff on the branch Twitter about this, didn't you?
Yeah. I just, if I was leader of any opposition, or, you know, you keep it professional, you would disclaim that straight away. You would distance yourself from that. And it seems for every criticism made of the opposition, no one says anything about the people in current administration, their failings. No one says anything. Or, you know, it seems like they're just bumbling through, or it's got to be the worst I've seen. And for those two to go, or certainly Cleverly to come out and say, boom, you know, it's not becoming of a minister in government. You know, you set the agenda, you know, you straight away disown it. You know, as short memories of Joe Cox, I think.
Yeah.
Because there was a lot of rhetoric before that tragic death of Joe Cox. There was a lot of rhetoric by certain party members, and then it hit home how serious this thing is. It hit home that that guy took that van with the intention of killing Jeremy Corbyn and Sadiq Khan. You know, and then you get the current administration saying those things, and TV presenters coming out and saying these things. I don't know. Look, any attack on any member of the public or any member of any political party, you should be disowning it, absolutely. And don't have a short memory to Joe Cox, because all I heard after her tragic death was a lot of sound bites and looking at those Twitter responses. But that individual, he should be ashamed of himself.
Yeah, I agree. And also, I mean, as we said, you know, the lack of political memory. But we also said a few weeks back about, you know, when people are moaning about the differences between the right and the left wing, find me the left wing plots to kill people, because I can find you quite a few right wing ones. You know, no right wing politician, no matter how utterly devoid of humanity and complete scum that they are, have faced the threat of anyone on the left trying to kill them. None of me and my Antifa bros and sisters are out trying to I mean, at best, you get a bit shoved around the place if you're a crappy TV journalist like Michael Crick. But that's about as far as it's gone. We haven't actually knocked anyone out so much as tried to kill them. It's really disgusting. I think that we need to make sure, as the writer Rachel Shabby puts it, that our cynical opponents on the right do not end up defining how we deal with a real problem like anti-Semitism. It's true, she says, cynical exploitation of anti-Semitism is as real as anti-Semitism itself. But focusing only on this creates a decoy that will divide your movement. So do not let defence turn into denial. I've included her point there because I think that's probably the most important point of tonight's show, actually. I really think she puts it so very well. So thank you very much, Miss Shabby, for that. We can deal with the media and we can stand up against anti-Semitism at the same time. You see, we have so many things that we can do. We're so clever as people. Anyway, next I want to talk about another issue that really has not been talked about in this situation, and that is mainstream support for Israel, something that we never talk about, really. And this does get involved in much of mainstream Jewish society and wider mainstream society. Now, all mainstreams are inherently conservative, and that's the main reason why I don't like them. And never have done, so I don't imagine one community's or multiple communities' mainstream is going to be something that I sign up to, because, as I've said there, they're inherently conservative, and I am not. However, there is unquestioning support for Israel in many of these places, and aside from the real anti-Semitism in supporters of this country, there is not enough criticism of it. Zionists are very anti-Semitic themselves, I think. I've known many cases of people who, particularly other Jewish people, who are against the actions of Israel, who have been viciously abused. In fact, quite recently, the journalist Michael Segalov, who's written a very good article, by the way, in The Guardian about tackling anti-Semitism that I recommend, he was on TV recently, and I can't even remember who it was. I can't be bothered to find the name of the arsehole who said this to him, but the person called him a self-hating Jew for standing up for Jeremy Corbyn and things like that. There was no attempt, by the way, from the presenter to actually address this. Mike had to do it himself. Then there's reactionary publications like the Jewish Chronicle, which is really just a version of the Daily Mail and never condemns the actions of anything in Israel. They have pushed so much of this crap as well about Corbyn and the party. Believe it or not, some Jewish people don't share these views, and some feel that the actions of Israel are appalling and often lead protests against them, including within Israel, which, believe me, is not easy. So hats off to those people, because they really are fighting some tough shit right there. Meanwhile, we get people like Siobhan McDonnell claiming, like many, and trying not to say, that the anti-capitalist views many of us have are equal to anti-Semitism. Now, I think this is ludicrous, but also I feel the need to mention it because I think there are many anti-Semitic ideas about Jewish people all being rich. And I really think that Siobhan has played into that one. So, yeah, nice move, love. It's also anti-socialist, like much of what's really going on here, and willfully forgets that Jewish people are fundamental to all of our great left radicalism. Most important points here, however, are what we have already said. This is a personal attack, a smear campaign against Jeremy Corbyn. Many of the leading critics of him within the Labour Party are also part of the Labour Friends of Israel, including Tom Watson. And I know he was flagged up recently on Twitter by Judas, who are a very, very good, powerful organisation of young Jewish people in this country who do not sign on with what Israel does. And I have requested an interview with them, and I will say it again. Please check your emails and please respond, because I would love to get somebody from Judas, and I really admire your organisation. Also, pretty much everyone who's joined the TIG, the independence group, are around the same kind of scale. But these facts exist independently, I'll say it again, of facts on anti-Semitism within Labour. Nevertheless, they are facts, and they are very, very important things, because this is the mainstream, this is the status quo, which is not to criticise that country. Any questioning any part of the US alliance with Israel is fast becoming almost illegal in the US itself. And those who do, such as Ilhan Omar, are thrown under a bus by their own party and subjected to racist tropes himself about an Arab mindset regarding Jewish people. Most of this is also, by the way, because many young Jewish people in the US especially, but also around these parts, are becoming a lot less interested in Israel. Plus, a peaceful campaign of BDS launched in 2005 by Palestinian Society is very effective. So they're quite scared. boycott, divestment, and sanctions, in case you were wondering. So coming to more or less the end of this particular subject, hopefully we'll have time to move on to the next one. Israel supporters need to face up to the truth about that country and the fact that those of us who advocate for the Palestinians as the victims of this terrible system, which was initiated from day one, do so out of a belief in humanity and justice, not out of any kind of hate. I don't care how you feel about that fact, and we're not going to shut up and we're not going to back down. This is not anti-Semitic to be this way. There are plenty of people ignored by the mainstream in Israel who do not agree with the illegal and immoral occupation, nor the portrayal of Palestinians as less than human, which happens very, very often. They do not support the state's actions of oppression, such as checkpoints, imprisoning children, and multiple acts of murder under spurious reasoning. However, the mainstream view in Israel is all of these things. They are defenders of the country internationally and domestically, regularly excuse the murder of Palestinians, including children, and often describe these people as dogs, and basically act as if Palestinian people have no human rights. This is indecent and hypocritical, and it must be stopped. Anti-Semitism is unacceptable hatred, and it must be stopped. Both are true. Far too many people, particularly Israel supporters, ignore this and never condemn it, and that is wrong. They must be called out for this, as we would anyone making excuses for, say, North Korea or Saudi Arabia or any places like that. Israel is an ethno-fascist apartheid state. That is my opinion. If anyone disagrees and has a good other way of putting it, please contact the show. If you want to come on and scream and shout and call me names, we're not interested. But if you want to come on and have, you know, add your viewpoint to this, I'm more than happy to listen to you and give you some room to speak. But I stand by my definition of Israel as an ethno-fascist apartheid state. It is a country that is far right, and many in the far right look to it. Many fascists actually look to this country for inspiration because of how they shut out Palestinians and made them second-class citizens basically produced a kind of white supremacist state. Their present leader, Mr. Netanyahu, is a far-right extremist and should be recognised as such. He has also met with other far-right extremists, including the aforementioned Viktor Orban, who came to power on a wave of anti-Semitism, as I said, and other far-right tropes. Rodrigo Duterte, who is presently sanctioning mass murder in the Philippines and has spoken of his admiration of Hitler before. And I don't mention any of these for the sake of it. I mention it because too much of the mainstream never does. And I think these things are really very, very important. Support for Israel in an unconditional way it receives is from the UK, the USA and others, along with the military funds, is an injustice and it's unacceptable. And people who do it are bad people. There is some anti-Semitism on the left, and it even tries to hide behind the fringes of the Palestinian rights movement. And I've seen this very proactively rooted out, actually even literally thrown out of meetings. But this never gets on the news. Chris Williamson did say in his condemned speech that no party has done more to tackle racism and anti-Semitism than the Labour Party, and we have paid for it because, again, as Dave has pointed out, let's not forget our political history. During the 80s and 90s, we were pilloried, even accused of abandoning the white working class for caring enough about the other people, because apparently there's only so much care that a person can give about justice and such things in life, that if you care about one group, you have to automatically abandon the other. The tabloids spread lots of lies about loony Labour councils banning blackboards in school and nursery rhymes about black sheep and things like that. But it seems undeniable now that everyone, media people in the street and even many right-wing movers and commentators, clearly recognise where racism and anti-Semitism have come from. And that is why the left are morally superior. They're basically admitting it. We are held to a different standard because we're morally superior. They know that. We know where this kind of thing comes from, and it comes from the right, always. Now, newspapers like the Daily Mail can get away with slinging mud at morally superior people like Jeremy Corbyn over untrue accusations of anti-Semitism. This being the paper that supported Adolf Hitler, compared Jewish refugees in the 1930s to rats, and did the same recently to Syrian ones as well. We must condemn this media, condemn Israel apologists, condemn and tackle all real anti-Semites, and ignore those who try to say that Jeremy Corbyn holds any anti-Semitic views. The reason this shit will not go away is because we're not challenging it properly. And that challenge includes taking care to deal with the real instances and give it a proper conclusion. Too many people do not understand what anti-Semitism really is. As I mentioned earlier, the Rothschild and Soros crap. And not make any kind of connections. Now, if anyone wants to engage in good faith talks over this, my criteria are as follows. Number one, a full acceptance via statement from the group or individual that Jeremy Corbyn is not anti-Semitic. Number two, the same regarding the Labour Party, along with admission that many MPs, including those who have left, have done so to undermine the leadership and their left-wing political programme. That does not mean there is any denial of anti-Semitism within the party. I'm going to say it as many fucking times as possible tonight to make sure you know where I stand. Number three, defending everything Israel does and at least admit that Netanyahu is a right-wing extremist. They need to stop defending these things. It's not the country's, it's based on white extremist colonialism. It's as simple as that. That's my criteria, and I won't settle for anything less. As Amber Frost says, get politically and morally confident to take these people on, or they will destroy you. Nothing of what I say here denies the existence on the left of a small amount of anti-Semitism. It is utterly unacceptable, and yes, the Labour Party needs to get on with chucking out anyone found guilty of it, but there is no casual link between the Labour Party members or Corbyn supporters with any of this. You cannot deny the political link to what is happening, but at the same time, you must not tolerate any signs of anti-Semitism and always defend our innocent comrades. An attack on one is an attack on us all, and I think as trade unionists, we can sign up to that one. Also, on a personal note, we all know that social media and the like are a cesspit, but I'm really getting tired of hearing people cry about how nasty some people are to them on social media. We live in a country where some women are so poor they can't afford sanitary items, where food banks have grown to shocking levels, work doesn't pay, and the government literally does not care if great levels of people live or die. So stop whining about people being rude to you online or on social media. I don't care. Okay, the media are turning this into what it is not. They are wholly cynical and utterly worthless. And we need to stand up for Jewish people always, but never for Israel. That's my view. That's how I do these things. Okay, I will stand up for and have done so. I'm not going to talk about how. I'm not going to show off. It's not what this is about. But I've done it now, and I'll do it again tomorrow. We have to call out the liars. We have to condemn more than understand, and we have to take the power back. And we also perhaps have to admit that there could be some tensions out there that will never quite be resolved, including Brexit, funnily enough. So never alienate people on purpose from that sort of situation. But let's be honest, the right are the enemy here. I have no other viewpoint of them than that. Okay, so that concludes that section. Dave, please intervene.
Yeah, thanks very much, John. I just before we go to the music break, I saw where it emanated from. There was a Labour Party motion put forward that would support. It's a motion by members in the Labour Party. It weren't Jeremy Corbyn. All he does is really carry out those motions. And the motion was is to support a Palestinian state, support the freeze on arms to Israel. And to condemn, support funding for the UN there, and condemn, and this was the whole motion, condemn the Gaza situation, Israel, Gaza, and that's where it emanated from. The press picked up on that, but that's where it emanated from. But remember, this was a motion put forward by so many members at the Labour Party conference, and it was carried, okay? It wasn't by the 1922 committee where they're unelected and stuff. These are just people who pay £5 a month to join the Labour Party, and they wanted this motion in, and that's where it started from. Back in a mo.
John Bouts, all the rage, all the on Tracks FM.
Yo, check this out, man.
Music hit in your heart, cause I know you got a soul.
Hey.
Listen if you're missing, y'all. Swinging while I'm singing.
Hey.
Giving what you're getting. Knowing what I'm knowing. While the black band's sweating. In the rhythm I'm rolling. Gotta give us what we want. Gotta give us what we need.
Hey.
Our freedom of speech is freedom of death. We got to fight the powers that be. Fight the power. Fight the power. Fight the power. Fight the power, fight the power, fight the power, we got to fight the power, that's
beat. As the rhythm's designed to bounce with calcifental rhymes, designed to fill your mind. Now that you realize the prize arrives, we got to pump the stuff to make it tough. From the heart, it's a start, a work of art to revolutionize, make a change, nothing strange. People, people, we are the same. No, we're not the same, cause we don't know the game. What we need is awareness. We can't get careless. You say, what is this? I beloved, let's get down to business. Mental self-defense of fitness. The rest the show.
You got to go for what you know.
To make everybody see. In order to fight the powers that be. Fight the power. 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 We got to fight the power that be.
I think I should play that song in every all of John's shows, actually. But we love it, don't we? John Baird's All the Rage. We've been talking about a whole host of things, and we just spoke about Terry Hall, who was quite lucid 20 years ago on workers' rights and equality. And 20 years later, he is a good advert for, to not take drugs when you're younger. John, take it away.
Yes, from a group like Public Enemy, who have never sold out, to a group like The Specials, who fucked over their actual leader in order to come back and produce some really dreary shit. Yes. The reason he came up, by the way, just to the, you know, listeners, we were chatting about this because I heard him interviewed yesterday, and he was going on about this this time of growing up when he lived in a household that was like hardcore Labour and pro-trade unionist, and then Blair took all of that away. And Nihal Arthur-Nyken, who was interviewing him, asked him about Jeremy Corbyn, and he made some stupid comment about, well, with my Jewish roots, you know, I don't think I can trust him. And then he also took the piss out of Diane Abbott. So it's kind of, again, it's like acceptable forms of bullying, except like Islamophobia, it's acceptable forms of prejudice that we have within our media. You know, these things weren't questioned, he wasn't pulled up on it. And then sort of leaning on everyone, expecting us all to give him sympathy for his mental health issues that he's had over the years. Well, you know, why I have plenty of sympathy for people in those situations, but you're a prick, mate. And, you know, you're being, you know, you think you can bully this powerful black woman who's achieved more than pretty much everyone in Britain today in her political career, you know, and you think you could just kind of pick on her and talk shit about political leaders simply isn't true. Well, fuck you, okay? I don't care about you. And by the way, the best song on your new record is the one that Sophia Khan sings on. The rest of them are shit. So, anyway, what was I going to... No, I was going to go into something else that I was worried about not having enough time to cover, but we could do that. Or I could just basically slag off the specials for 10 minutes. No, I think I'll probably go into this. So, I was thinking this week, always a dangerous sign, about comedy. And I think this is a subject, again, on the subject of offence, I think this is something we need to broaden out into a wider show. But just right now, I want to do a very quick cultural analysis about a couple of things here that occurred to me this week. So when I was growing up, I was always very suspicious of people attempting to shock me. I always liked non-mainstream stuff, and I found that where shock was concerned, my levels were pretty high. Basically, I hated bullshitters and phonies. People like Dennis Leary, who used to rant about not being allowed to smoke in a coffee shop or whatever, while also ripping off jokes from the likes of Bill Hicks. Meanwhile, Hicks was ranting about state-sponsored murder at Waco and things like that, taking comedy in an entirely different direction. I couldn't bear the Saturday Night Entertainer types either, a form that Britain has long imagined were funny, and so many people just need to leave behind in our ever-increasing haunting past that just will not go away. Come the early 2000s, the onslaught of cultural unoriginality meant that we no longer had the ability to invent anything. So the past was hyper-raided by a bunch of unfunny hacks. Fake rebellion had gone mainstream in the 1990s, if not before, and been co-opted and sold to the point that we couldn't tell the difference anymore as a culture. Now, humour is a great way to defeat a ludicrous enemy, but it's also a shield to hide extremism behind. In our present culture, we have seen attacks and caricatures smuggled back into the mainstream via irony or proclaiming that it's a more kind of educated way of doing racism, etc. As is always aware, of course, it is the most defenseless who get attacked, and the concept of the unacceptable otherness lingers within our society about such people. So in a society ridden with Islamophobia, we have atheists who pick on religion, except they don't pick on religion, they just pick on Islam, and embark less on a process of free expression than one of dehumanisation. The main problem is, of course, that this is hollow. There's no real belief in anything behind what is said. Now, I've got no problem with being offensive, as you may have told from the show, but I cannot stand it merely for the sake of it. If you're offensive because you have a point, that's one thing. If you're doing it just, telling a granny to fuck off is not clever. That's not what we're here for, all right? What we really saw over the last decade or so is a bunch of man babies with no real talent screaming without pause so no one could point out how talentless they actually are. None of this has given us a better or freer society. Instead, it appears to have given us a culture war. However, the fake rebels want you to believe that they are anti-establishment when, in fact, they are the heart of it. Transphobia, for instance, is not a question of just making jokes. People suffer from extreme levels of rejection within society and prejudice, and this causes a number of things, including a hideous amount of mental health troubles. But they're also very easy pickings for cheap jokes. Most of all, as I underline here, these wankers are not funny. Most importantly, they know this, so they stop bullying the shit out of people because they are taking you for a ride. Stop buying their stuff, seriously. It's not worth it. Being childishly offensive is not being virtuous or intellectually higher level, and frankly, people, most of us learn this by our early 20s. The aforementioned Bill Hicks is, of course, an over-discussed individual these days, but the reasons he is so beloved in the first place, aside from his own line of intolerance in places, we'll put that to one side, but nevertheless, he was not only very funny, but he used comedy as a weapon against the right people, such as warmongers, terrible governments, religious extremism in power. He punched up, in other words, rather than down. Plenty of others still do this, such as Stuart Lee or Hannah Gatsby, and my favourites, Chapo Trap House, coming out of America. But this is really a question, if it's really a question of taste, then fine. But I will never find a little twit like Ricky Gervais and his inability to understand the real world funny. And you may not get what I get from her nuanced political jokes, but that's me. We're all different. What your comedy is definitely not, however, is original, edgy, boundary pushing, or anything other than weak little bitches doing the establishment's work to protect the system. Gervais being a particularly good example of that. This is not about free speech or upholding any cultural values. It is about bullying and keeping people down. Whether engaged in knowingly so or just misguided, you are a whore for the system. And these talentless tarts are just recycling the agenda of yesterday, just like their political counterparts. I've got no time for them or anything they do. So some of you might be screaming for names and examples. I'll give you a few. Jimmy Carr, Ricky Gervais, as I already mentioned. God, pretty much everybody on a panel show, just so much of it. So I just think, I don't know, where do you think communist, Dave? I mean, at best, I just describe so much of modern comedy now as dreary crap. But the kind of the intention to just be offensive, especially to trans people, in other words, the most defenceless, I find very bothersome. What do you think?
I think some of us, and I am a member of an ethnic minority, my parents derivate from the West Indies, and we're still miles behind diversity on LGBT stuff, and it's something that we have to deal with. It's a part of the world that it's so not tolerant, John. I do look at some of the stuff said now, and having co-hosted shows like yours and in trade unions, we get training on this stuff, which is great, which is mandatory for all trade unions in the UK. Mm. So I tend to look at it in a different light. So I've just admitted something that's inherent in the Caribbean community, that it's 1,000 years. It's nowhere near where it should be. But it's important that we're aware of that, John.
Yeah.
And admit that. And then take a different look at what's being transmitted to us on the TV all the time and say, well, actually, we'll try a different argument. Some say we're snowflakes for doing that, but
I'd rather be a snowflake than a pile of shit.
Yeah, exactly, John. And I think it's a fair point. I think it's a very fair point you're making. Mm. And it's important that we are aware of it. I don't want us to think that that's standard in society, that we should behave like that. I think it's wrong.
Also, I think you've tied that in very nicely there with how you started. So part of my point in the first part of tonight's show was, you know, criticism of Israel, even if you're Jewish, doesn't make you anti-Semitic, and you need to reject that kind of, you know, silly Zionist ideology. And you just pointed out, you know, in no way advocating racism towards West Indian people, but saying, yeah, you know what, we got a problem with LGBT people. And yeah, it's perfectly possible to admit these things and say these things and not act like you're advocating some kind of hatred for people. Because, of course, that is an action of the far right, which we've talked about many, many times on this show, which is, Muslims who are sexually abused young white girls or whatever, like they're not sexually abused by anybody else. It's just these people doing stuff like that. You know, it's that kind of connection. Well, that's what you have to reject. So you can put perfectly educated and accurate and needed criticism against certain communities' ideas without alienating them. So, I mean, I enjoy doing these shows with you anyway, but it's always that you add a very important point. I think you've really added a very important one there. You know, so thank you for that.
Yeah, thanks, John.
In closing, can I just say, by the way, if anyone wants an idea, a little bit more in the detail here, of the piece I just read, it was inspired by me watching the most recent ContraPoints video, which is Natalie Wynn, who does a lot of stuff on YouTube. And her latest video is called The Darkness, and it's about comedy and the idea of, you know, her basic thesis is, I don't have a problem with jokes about trans people as a trans person myself, but I like it when it's from people who know what it's about. I don't like cheap, shitty jokes. Well, I completely sign on to that, Natalie, and I would really recommend people go and check that out, along with multiple articles. As I said earlier, when I read out Momentum's Anti-Semitism Open Letter, if you want to go and check that out, I would recommend it. There's been some good tweets flying around on this subject. And various bits and bobs, good articles on, you know, the usual sites, Jacobin and places like that. Even a few things on checking out. That's pretty much it from me this evening. So thanks again, Dave.
Yeah, thanks very much, John. And interview with Holly Cook next week on the subject, and it's a major subject, on the homeless in Harrow. Cheers, John.
Cheers, mate. See you later.
All the Rage with John Bowd. www.traxfm.org